We're the travel agents coming to you with tips, tricks, interviews, and voyages by cruise. The travel agents bringing you the latest travel news.
Je m'appelle Brian.
Je m'appelle Will.
Why are we speaking French?
I don't know, Brian. Why are we speaking French?
Because I just recently got out of a relationship and I planned myself a vacation.
I can see where that tracks. Yeah. Okay.
So I got invited for my second time to the International Luxury Travel Market Convention, which is in Cannes, C-A-N-N-E-S. How on earth do you say that? It's
Cannes?
A city in France.
Cairns is also
Cairns. Cairns is a city in Australia where the Great Barrier Reef is. Caen. But then here's the thing: up in Normandy, northern France, there's a city spelled C-A-E-N.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
So Caen. I don't really know, but
you're talking about the famous location for the film festival, Cairns Film Festival.
Nailed it.
Know, yeah.
Mm-hmm. It's also near Monte Carlo, Monaco, and Nice.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It's only a 3-day conference. I'm like, I'm not flying out to France just for a 3-day conference. I need to spread my wings a little bit, and there's too many places I want to do. So I'm going to really make a trip out of this.
Yeah, as you should. So where are you going to go?
Okay. Should I just say, or should I like kind of step by step, or just give it to him?
Yeah, list the countries you're going to go to.
Okay, Portugal, France, Istanbul, Cairo, Luxor.
So, yeah, so Turkey, Egypt, France, and Portugal.
Thank you. I realize I named two countries than two cities. Who does that?
No, it's two continents. Yeah. We're looking at a 15-day trip.
Oh, Africa.
Oh, yeah.
Do you ever
three
forget?
Continents. Then.
No. Do you ever forget Egypt is in Africa?
Yes.
Oh, you're saying if in Istanbul I go to the Asia side?
Yeah, because it's in the middle. Yeah.
I will be in. Yeah. I'll definitely go to the Asia side.
Yeah, I'm sure you will.
I will make it a point.
Yeah.
To do three continents in a trip. How cool is that?
That's pretty badass, man.
All right. So you ready for this trip itinerary?
Yeah. Bring it out to me.
Okay. So first, I was like, man, I've always wanted to do Portugal. I've heard some great things.
Sure.
I also hear it's very easy to drive around Portugal.
Mm.
And ever since last year when I went to this film festival, travel agency festival in Cannes, I got a car for the day and I drove around Monte Carlo and Monaco and I was scared to death, but I survived. I was like, if I can drive there, which was some of the hardest driving of my life, I can definitely drive in Portugal.
Sweet. Okay.
So I think.
Yeah.
Also in Europe, you may or may not know, to get a stick shift car is generally significantly cheaper.
Way cheaper.
Than an automatic.
Yeah.
So, 12 years ago, I used to drive stick every day. Surely I can pick it back up, even though I haven't driven it in 12 years, right?
Sure.
I feel like I should practice with someone's car. Yeah. Ooh, Brandon, I was with in his convertible a couple years ago, and I drove around Akron, and it was... Akron's easy, though.
I mean, hey, it's all about learning the stick shift and getting acquainted with it again.
They do drive. It's European Union, so they drive on the right side of the road. Mm-hmm.
The correct side.
So I fly into Lisbon. I did use points on United. Now, the goal with United is always to get from Cleveland to Europe with 30,000 points one way. If you can do it, you've won, right?
Yeah.
You're not going to find it for cheaper on United.
So how did you, what reward system did you use with your United points?
When
like,
you rack
you accrue
up,
them?
When you rack up a ton of Chase Visa points, Chase transfers to United.
Okay, so use your Chase Sapphire card.
Correct. So it's one of six or eight, I forget, that it transfers to.
Sure.
But United, so I take the 30,000 to United, and you're going to say something?
Oh, I was just going to, go ahead.
I book the flight from Cleveland to Lisbon. Go ahead.
Okay, so for the listeners who might not be aware, when you use the Chase Sapphire card and you use those reward points, you are booking through the Chase travel agent platform. So you're getting some sort of protection there with your Chase Sapphire card, right?
No.
Okay.
I see what you're saying. If you use your Chase Sapphire to book through the Chase Sapphire system within their portal, you're not using points. You're putting it on your credit card.
I gotcha.
I transferred points to United.
Gotcha. Okay, I gotcha.
Then I booked it.
Yep, gotcha.
All flights into Lisbon Yes, all flights from the U.S. arrive in the morning. So I'm leaving late November. I arrive early December. I don't want to give my exact dates. I'm getting a rental car in Lisbon Airport. It's a little stick shift car. I'm like, wow, we'll see. Ooh, also, I totally, like my dad had the old Garmin GPS.
You know those things? Yeah.
And I downloaded Europe Maps onto it for like $40.
Nice. Where did you get that?
I googled download Europe Maps for Garmin.
Okay.
And I did not do it through the official Garmin website.
Okay.
And so a bunch of countries aren't listed. It's real bad. Okay. But some are.
Sure.
I'm eager to see if Portugal is. I hope. If not, I'm just going to use my phone. Or just rent a GPS for an absurd amount each day.
Yeah.
No. I think Hertz rents it for 13 euros per day.
What was the price of the rental car per day?
It was like, it's too much these days. It's like $50 a day.
Super high lately, yeah.
I know. What is it, demand? I heard a bunch of rental car companies sold their cars during COVID.
Okay, I could see that.
To get cash on hand.
Yeah, sure, I could see that.
So the moment I land, I'm driving 2 hours north to a city called Porto.
Okay.
I will post up shop there for 2 nights. But on the way there, I'm going to stop and I hear there's some great wineries and some cool mountains, maybe some hikes because I arrive in the morning.
Port wine.
Is that where it's from?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Oh.
Yep.
Learned that just now. It's going to be chilly, but I'm okay with that.
Sure.
I don't mind a little chill. I'm from Akron. Let's go. So 2 nights in Porto. What will I do there? I know that there's a beach. I might check it out. Get my tan on. Actually, nothing wrong with tanning in December because I can take a very minimal amount of sun.
Sure. So you're going to Portugal after you're going to Portugal first, then you're going to France, right?
Correct.
And then after France is when you're going to go to Istanbul.
Correct.
Okay. So is that a direct flight from Cannes to, is there even an airport in Cannes? Remind me. I don't think there is. Is there?
Nice.
Okay. So it's going to be Nice to Istanbul.
Correct.
No, just direct?
Bingo.
Direct. Wow. That's pretty sweet. Okay.
So after my 2 nights in Porto, I come back to Lisbon. I drop off the car because I don't want a car in Lisbon. And I hear from so many clients who've been all over Europe that Lisbon's one of their favorite cities in all of Europe.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep.
I even have 4 clients who are there currently right now.
Okay.
And they've been excited. I guess I don't know how maybe they'll hate it. I don't know. But I hear it's good. As far as real quick, what I'm going to do in Lisbon, because I know Lisbon's not so beachy. That's why you go to Porto for the beach.
Yeah.
Lisbon's for the city life.
Yep.
But there's this what's that thing where monks go to?
Monastery?
There's a monastery outside of Lisbon called, it's a town, I think, called Sintra, Sintra.
Okay.
I think that's where the famous monastery is. It's like a 5-hour trip. I haven't decided if I want to do it or not, just because I'm not sure how interesting it'll be. I really like cities.
Yeah.
And I'm thinking 2 nights in Lisbon. I think that's, I'm going to want more than that.
So I think the audience might be interested how you as a travel agent are preparing for this trip. What's your, what is your logic when you go and you plan a trip for yourself? What are you doing first?
Right on. So first I'm going to look at logistics and make sure I don't give myself one night stays. I'm not a big fan of one night stays, though I will break that rule in Egypt, which I'll get to in just a minute.
Sure.
But I'm going to look at, where can I get 30,000 mile, where can I use 30,000 points to get from Cleveland to Europe, right? Yeah. And back. That's my first trick. And then I'm going to look at places that have direct flights cheap from within Europe. Because usually within Europe, you can get flights pretty cheap.
Yeah.
I'm also a sucker who packs a checked bag. So when I'm looking at flights around Europe, I'm going to make sure that it's an airline that includes a bag or I pick a fare that includes a bag.
Okay.
Up to 50 pounds because I'm like that. It's the winter. I want to have some nice clothes.
And your shoes.
Then I'm going to look for hotels and my goal for a hotel is, my goal is to spend $100 per night per room.
Sure.
Here's how I come to that number. There's plenty of accommodations less than $100 a night.
Yeah.
The problem is I just don't enjoy them. It's not an experience. Mm-hmm. They exist. Yes. But I don't generally like the experience.
Why would you choose a hotel over Airbnb, for example?
Because I'm in the I'm in the tourism industry and everyone asks me about hotels. No one asks me about Airbnb because I can't book Airbnbs. So definitely. I don't mind Airbnbs, but it doesn't help me in the long run.
Yeah, definitely. Well, like, they're getting to the point where Airbnbs are more expensive than hotels.
That's
a lot of times.
Crazy. Yeah. What I thought, I mean,
it's all those hidden fees there. Yeah. All those hidden fees.
Yeah. That is kind of weird, but I'm not against Airbnbs. But I do. Ooh. What I'm noticing is there are some like apart hotels. They're called apartment hotels.
Yeah, those are really big right now.
Yeah, and I'm always interested when there's like a host who can like greet you and answer questions.
Yeah.
So at a hotel, I know that there's a front desk.
Okay.
And the front desk I can ask questions to because I'm totally the guy who asks questions at the front desk.
Yeah, okay.
I suppose if I had an Airbnb host, I could text them, but I always feel like... They don't like
it's a different
me.
Experience.
I don't know. Yeah, it's different.
It's different. Yeah.
Texting as opposed to being in person talking. So I did pick hotels.
Okay.
My goal is $100 a night.
Do you have a platform of choice that you go to for picking hotels? Are you using one of your one of our suppliers?
Great question. I did use a mixture of I think I mostly use Chase Sapphire points through the portal.
Okay. Yeah, yeah.
There you go. Yeah. So getting some protection and extra bonus points.
What are those protections that you can speak right now?
Well, no protection. I just book hotels that allow me to cancel 24 hours prior. Yeah. But the benefits are you get 5x points per dollar spent through the app.
Okay.
Or through the platform, which is sick.
Super nice.
Yeah. So my goal is to look for hotels. I go to TripAdvisor. And my goal is 4 or 4.5 stars on TripAdvisor.
Mm-hmm.
I don't book under 4 stars on TripAdvisor.
Yeah, no, it's a...
The only hotel I do that's under 4 stars on TripAdvisor is the Rome Airport Hilton Hotel.
Okay.
Because it's located in the airport and it's clutch if you're coming from like Sicily or Naples, Sorrento, Amalfi Coast, and you need to crash before your 8 a.m. flight home back to like New York.
Definitely.
So it's like, okay, it's not a great hotel, but it's got a really
location.
It's just because you're there in the airport. Mm-hmm. Just okay. You can suffer for 8 hours, right?
Yeah.
And then, so when it comes to this, I go to two things. I go to TripAdvisor. I look at, make sure it's 4 or 4.5 stars. If you can get 5 stars on TripAdvisor, you've done something incredible because no one, no hotel has 5 on TripAdvisor. There's like 2.
Yeah.
No, I'm kidding. So 4 or 4.5. And then I scroll down the TripAdvisor page and look at what other people rate it for walking.
Mm.
And it's, I try to find something that's only 100 out of 100, meaning other past guests give it a 100%. In terms of walking location, what you can walk to from there.
So you're going to be able to walk to some of those really popular destinations that are just to be really close to the city center. You're going to be able to,
It's like in Lisbon, the hotel I picked has over 500 restaurants within like half a mile. I mean, it's like insane.
Yeah.
Okay. Maybe it was 300, but it was something where it's like, I'm not going to starve. Right.
Sure. Yeah.
So I look for those two things. And then another pro tip would be in TripAdvisor. There's all the reviews.
Yeah.
These are, whenever you're looking at TripAdvisor reviews, take it with a grain of salt. Anybody can write anything, even people who I don't think didn't stay there.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
I guess the hotel could maybe decline, like deny the review.
Refute it. Yeah, kind of same thing with like Google reviews.
There you go. But like with Google reviews, there's a search bar and you can search anything you want and it will tell you if it shows up in other reviews.
With Google reviews, you can
no,
do
no, no, no.
Sorry, TripAdvisor. You mean TripAdvisor. Okay.
Sorry. Let me go back. With TripAdvisor, this is my pro tip. Go to TripAdvisor, find the hotel you want. Make sure it's 4 stars or higher. Make sure the location is 100.
Mm-hmm.
And then you go to the reviews and you type in important things for you.
Okay. So you could type in like bed bugs and see if bed bugs have ever been mentioned in the reviews or something.
There you go. Don't get me started on bed bugs. That's a separate episode. Have you ever had them?
No.
You kind of feel like you're just ready to move.
I bet.
And I've talked to other people who have it, and they have a similar sentiment. Like, I don't think I need
to. Just burn it all down.
I don't need to live in this place ever again. it controls your life.
Yeah, I bet.
Where was I?
Okay, so we've gotten the hotel booked. We've gotten the
flights booked. With my Porto hotel, the first thing I do is I go to the reviews and I type in the word parking because I'm going to have a car in Porto.
Yeah.
And it says there's parking across the street for free, or you can park at the hotel for like $10 a night.
Oh,
I can deal with that.
Yeah, definitely.
So just little key things like that.
Definitely.
Like for, if you're booking clients to the Caribbean or Mexico and they're kind of like, well, I really want to make sure that there is a, what's the pool entertainment like?
Yeah.
I go to the, I don't actually call the hotel because of the language barrier. It's too hard.
It's, they
don't,
yeah, it'd be way hard. Yeah.
I'm not going to get to the right person at the hotel. There's 1,000 people working there. I'm going to go to TripAdvisor and I'm going to type in the word pool entertainment. Or they want to know if there's like a special type of liquor, like Grey Goose vodka. I'm literally going to go to TripAdvisor that has 15,000 reviews. And yeah. I'm going to type in the word Grey Goose.
It's got to be mentioned. Yeah.
Exactly,
yeah.
Right? Yeah. Isn't that crazy how like we're learning?
Yeah.
None of these are official. They're not. It's not the official website of the hotel, but it's just ways.
Just what people are saying.
We're like, this is how we can figure it out.
Right. Okay. So we've got our flights booked. We've got the hotels booked.
Yeah.
What's your go-to for getting the rental car? Do you have a platform that you use?
I go to Auto Europe.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, is there a reason why you like Auto Europe?
Yeah, because Auto Europe generally has discounted rates for Avis and Budget all over the world, not even just Europe. Wow. I also use it for USA, Asia, and like South America.
Yeah, we use it for everything.
I had someone book a rental car in Winston-Salem, North Carolina. And I'm like, and he loved the price. I was like, don't be shocked when it says auto, when your credit card statement says Auto Europe. Just go with it.
Yeah,
he's like, oh, okay, right on.
Sweet.
That's
okay.
Okay, cool. So when I get to France, it's all taken care of by the conference. It's cool. They're putting me up at the JW Marriott Cannes, no big deal.
Wow.
Now it's a gorgeous hotel.
Nice digs, yeah.
Can I say I feel very blessed, very lucky. And whatever they tell me to do, I do. It's a thing. When you people always say, like, oh, you're so lucky. Sometimes you get offered free trips, Brian. I'm like, well, sort of.
Yeah.
Sort of lucky.
It's still a work trip.
You do what they tell you to. You don't have freedom.
Yeah. You can't go explore.
No.
Yeah.
No. You will be at the meeting at 8 a.m. and you stay until the fancy dinner that ends at 10 p.m. You don't get to do what you want to do on these kind of trips. So that's why I'm adding the pre and post.
We call that pre, the stuff before the conference, post. Okay.
So after my time in France, once the conference is over, like 9 a.m., you know, that last day, that is whatever, I'm flying to Istanbul and I get to fly on Turkish Airlines for the first time.
Ooh, okay.
I'm kind of pumped about that.
Yeah.
And they keep winning these ratings. They keep winning awards for like pumping out great aircrafts.
So you're in France. The next trip.
No, I'm in Akron. Had to get ya.
You got me. You got me. You're in Cannes, France. And where's next? You're going to Istanbul.
So I take my Turkish Air flight to Istanbul. I've never been. I got to go see the Hagia Sophia.
Hagia Sophia, yeah, absolutely.
I need to go to the Grand Bazaar. I literally picked a hotel that was near the Grand Bazaar.
Good for you, yeah.
So I could just
Two questions.
Waste some money, yeah.
When you booked your flight for Turkish Airlines, did you book directly from Turkish Airlines website or did you use a provider, a supplier?
So happy you would ask. I booked directly from Turkish Airlines website. However, I knew since I was going to Istanbul and Istanbul being the hub for Turkish Airlines, that it might be wise to see where I was going next and then book it as a multi-city route.
Yeah.
And so what I did was I saw it was cheaper if I booked. This is one that's kind of, I think these are reasons why you need a travel agent or just why you need to look at every step.
Sure.
Because I could book a one-way ticket from Nice to Istanbul, and then a one-way ticket from Istanbul to Cairo. Or I could see, hey, how much is it to book what's called a multi-city ticket?
Yeah.
Where I go Nice, Istanbul, Cairo, giving myself 3 days in Istanbul.
Yeah.
And that was cheaper.
Really?
Yes.
Wow. So for listeners that don't know, normally, what is it when you when you book like an overnight stay, when you sort of delay your connecting flight, the airlines know kind of what you're doing and they charge you a fee usually, right?
Yeah, but remember I said like on our Iceland episode in season one, episode 12. No, I'm kidding. I don't know what episode. Well, do you know what it was? Episode?
No, not at all. Oh. Maybe six.
I think that's a closer guess than mine. I like Iceland Air was the first airline that I knew of to say, hey, it's called a stopover.
Yes.
If you do 3-day stopover or less, we won't charge you an additional fee.
Okay.
So I wonder if that's what Turkish Airlines is doing. Because gotcha. Okay. I don't know for sure.
No, that makes sense.
But why was it cheaper for me to do what's called a multi-city with 3 days in Istanbul as opposed to 2 1-way tickets?
Sure. Okay.
That I don't know. Sense. It just was. And I think to look for stuff like that because I've been doing it long enough and I've made the mistake where I didn't look for it. That's why.
And you booked on Turkish Airlines instead of using a supplier because normally that's actually going to be the cheapest route is booking through the actual airline itself.
I agree with that when you're looking at flights that are 2 hours or less within Europe. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Like domestic flights sort of. Yeah.
Within a continent, go to the airline site directly. And that way you'll also understand baggage policy, seat policy, change policy, cancellation policy, and a boarding pass policy because it's really confusing trying to book through a third party supplier. For those domestic flights, it makes sense when you're going overseas. That's fine. You can use your third parties.
Okay.
But not for domestic.
The other question I had for you with Istanbul is related to the Hagia Sophia. I remember maybe a few years ago, right around COVID time, they announced that I think anyone that wasn't a Muslim could no longer enter the Hagia Sophia. Have you heard anything about that?
My parents were just there in April and they went in.
Okay, awesome. Okay, perfect.
But they're totally Muslim. No, I'm sorry. That's not really a joking matter, but they're if you know my parents, they're not there. Not Muslim. So anyways, but I will say this for both Istanbul and Egypt, I don't feel comfortable winging it.
Sure.
So I'm reaching out to my tour guides in each country and saying, hey, can you take me around?
Sure. Yeah.
Literally hold me by the hand.
Yeah. Perks of a travel agent.
Put me in your car. I'm too nervous.
Yeah.
Walk around on my own.
I think the last thing that I want to talk about that I really want to make sure that we talk about is getting the visa for Egypt because you need a visa to enter the country,
and
right?
And Istanbul.
Okay.
Both were pretty easy. Okay, I'll start with Turkey because that's so easy. The Turkish visa, you just Google Turkish visa. There's one website. It's the first one that pops up. It's $50, but the application process took me about 35 seconds.
Wow. Okay.
And then I was approved within like an hour.
Okay. Wow.
So that wasn't too bad.
Nice.
And then Egypt. Egypt was $51 because there's a $1 processing fee. And with the Egyptian visa, or no. Was it 26? Turkey's 51. Turkey's 51. Egypt is 25 or 26.
Okay.
And that was super easy too. These were all way, way, way easier than China.
Sure. China and Russia.
Oh, Russia was a nightmare.
Before the war.
Yeah. I can only imagine now. Maybe it'd be really easy.
Probably really easy. Be like, yeah, come on in. We need the money.
Egypt wasn't hard. When their website works, the Egyptian visa was easy, and I got approved within, like, I think a day.
Nice.
So both of those, not bad. You just have to know, budget an extra $75 for visas.
Sure, yeah.
That's something I've been trying to remember to do. When I just quoted today someone wanted to do, they wanted to do Jordan and Egypt. And so in my quote, I said, hey, I just want to make sure it's very clear. Your Egypt visa's 25, I think it's 25. $25 a piece, and I can apply for it 3 months before you go and help you. That's a service I provide if you book your trip to Egypt with me. And then for Jordan, their visa's $50, but you can only do it once you arrive.
The cost of a single entry tourist visa for Egypt is $25 plus service fees.
Okay, thanks.
For multiple entry visas for Egypt, it's $60 plus a service fee. What is a multi-entry visa?
Well, it means you're going to maybe go back a couple times that year.
Okay. So it's sort of limited to the year.
Yeah. or maybe sometimes you can get like, yeah, like a 1 year multiple entry, a 5 year, or even like a 10 year. I remember like my, for a while, China was just, you would apply for the single entry, one time entry.
Yeah.
And they were just sending you back 10 year multiple entry visas. It was amazing.
Wow.
It was a season where China was doing that. And it was like, you paid the price for that one time, one entry. And they just said, you know what? Here's 10 years multiple, meaning for the next 10 years, come in as many times as you want.
Sure, no sure. Problem. You know, I thought of another question related to visas for you. For our listeners that don't know, can you, I mean, let's say if you have a connecting flight in Cairo, do you need a visa for that connecting flight?
So you're talking about like a transit visa. Mm-hmm. Some countries require it, some don't. And it kind of depends if you're going to leave the airport.
Okay.
I had a confusing one. I'm going to give you this one, see what you think.
Okay.
A guy leaving, okay, it's actually, he's flying today.
Is this the guy that's going to Africa?
He's been in Africa.
Okay,
he's going from Rwanda to Qatar, but he's got a layover in Uganda. But I booked, and then from Qatar, he's going to JFK back to Cleveland. But I have four different flights and three different airlines. So, I had to do it. Because you want to use points, I had to do it with three separate tickets.
Which so you is had very to do it with some finesse, yeah.
So, oh my gosh, it took
a lot of finesse.
It was insane. I'm embarrassed how much time. So he flew from Kigali, Rwanda to Entebbe, Uganda on Rwanda Airways.
Yeah.
But that was a separate ticket.
Okay.
And on Qatar Airways, Entebbe, Uganda to Doha, Qatar. Now in Uganda, you need a visa.
Yeah.
But if you're just flying through, you don't need a visa. But it's two separate airlines and he's got bags. So he's got to just follow me here. He's got to walk downstairs, leave the airport, so to speak, get his bag from baggage claim, walk 30 steps, and then give it to Qatar Airways. Insane. And then go back through security.
Yeah.
So he's technically, because he's going to baggage claim, even though he's not even leaving the confines of the airport.
Yeah.
He has entered Uganda. So
that's crazy. Yeah, it's crazy.
We did the $50 visa for Uganda.
No. Oh, man.
Anyways.
But he still saved money with points.
Hey. So Cairo. Yeah, exactly. Cairo. Two nights, I'm going to go see the pyramids, the Sphinx, all that stuff. I got a tour guide who's taking care of me. It's great.
Yeah.
And then I bought a little $80 ticket from Cairo to Luxor.
Dude, that's going to be so cool.
What's Luxor? The Valley of the Kings. Mm-hmm. What's the Valley of the Kings? I don't actually know. Do you?
Yeah, this is where all the pharaohs would have been like buried. For the most part, this is where a lot of the pharaohs were buried.
So it's really good for me to
know. Yeah.
There's gorgeous hotels for like $90 a night.
Yeah, dude, they're super pretty. Be really careful.
Yeah, but they're cheap.
You should be fine taking a GoPro, but I've heard some weird things about taking camera equipment into Egypt. Specifically flying into, I think it was Cairo.
Because?
I don't know, man.
They confiscate it?
Yeah. Yeah, I've heard a few stories of camera equipment.
What if I tell them?
Confiscated.
I'm recording this for a podcast.
This guy was specifically, the story I'm thinking of, the guy was specifically invited by the head of like tourism in Egypt or something. And the guards still confiscated
his GoPro
stuff. Yeah.
Was he filming something he shouldn't have been?
No, he was just vlogging. Yeah. Crazy. I mean, you're going to be fine. You're going to be fine with a GoPro. He had like a mirrorless camera and a bunch of lenses and stuff, which is still should be fine. But yeah. I don't know.
You know the best reason to get the newest GoPro?
What?
Because your last one just got stolen in Egypt.
That's awesome. Well, man, I'm super excited for you to go on this trip because you deserve it for sure. And then B,
because
just
of
to
my
hear back
relationship.
And for you to come back midlife and tell crisis. Us all about it, man.
I just turned 34 yesterday, so midlife crisis maybe.
Midlife crisis.
Is that what this is?
You got a long time before you got a midlife crisis, my guy.
But if I live till 68, I'm technically midlife.
All right.
This was a fun episode.
Yeah.
Do you think people will listen to this one in particular?
I hope so. We'll be able
to see. We have to give it a catchy name to click on.
Yeah.
So, Will, you just told me that our 12 items needed for travel has been the most growing podcast, the most episode, most yeah. growing episode.
Yeah, it has been. Yeah.
Does that surprise yeah. you?
Yeah. I mean, yes, but also no.
Why?
Yeah. It surprised me because I know statistically speaking, like those like X versus Y does really well.
Yeah.
Top 10 lists do really well. That's why you always see like top 10 things to do in X location because yeah. they're really popular.
But yeah. our Sedona episodes and our Philadelphia episode are both really high.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, all of our episodes are growing, but yeah, some are just growing quicker than others.
Interesting.
Yeah. Which actually reminds me, I don't think we've announced this quite yet. And I don't know, we might have announced this. I don't know when this episode is coming out. Yeah, we just launched our website, which is very exciting.
Yeah. What is the domain?
So the website is thetravelagents.net.
There's an S at the end of agent.
Yes. thetravelagents.net. Just like the podcast, we haven't, made any money to buy travelagents.com yet.
Who wants a .com? Come on.
So 90s.
Yeah.
All right, guys. Thanks so much for listening. If you have any feedback for us, reach out to us. We really appreciate it.
Ooh. Thanks for the 2 new reviews this week we got on Apple Podcasts.
Yeah. By the time you're hearing this, it might be like 2 months, but
have 2 more reviews.
Yeah, we might have more. Ooh, keep reviewing people, please. It helps us. I think. I don't know. I appreciate you guys.
Salam.
We're the Travel Agents. That's the end of our show. Make sure to comment and subscribe before you go.